Off the Ball Rugby.
You've heard a lot of them talk about, you know, be yourself, and that's something that Andy Farrell would say on the first day of any camp, that he wants you to be yourself.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
Okay, I've been gone 2 weeks. I don't think I've missed much. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. It's Cameron back in the seat once again this week. Will I be leaning on the Oasis puns for tonight's intros? Definitely, maybe. First up, he's electric. It's Shane Keegan. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, the house nearly burnt down without you now. That's the truth.
Is it?
We had a nightmare. We had a nightmare last week anyway. We had Nathan to keep an eye on us the previous week. It wasn't too bad, but we were all over the shop without you last week. So delighted that you're back in control.
Oh, wow. I can't even tell if you're lying. That's very nice.
Easy, no, you didn't listen back to last week.
No, I haven't yet. Now I think I will. But good to have you back. Good to be back tonight. Also joined by, most of the time, he's half the world away. It's Johnny Ward.
Yeah, nice pun. I thought the jersey was actually going to be for the FAI Cup, but they rolled it out tonight, and it was a hell of a week for both. I was watching Drogheda Go United, Cameron, and it was a worrying defeat for Go United in terms of where the season is going. Just really poor tonight.
Yeah, we'll get into all the results tonight with Johnny and Shane, and you as well. If you want to get any League of Ireland thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left-hand corner there, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. Plenty of talking points as we head into European football in the next week or so. Let's go through what happened tonight before we do any of that. And it finished in our commentary game. Stephen Doyle and Owen Doyle calling the action at Richmond Park, where it finished St. Pat's 0, Bohemians 0. Safe to say, given how Bohemians played and had so many chances towards the end of that game, it might feel for Bohemians fans like 2 points dropped rather than a point gained tonight on the road. No shortage of goals for the Brandywell tonight, however. Derry City 7, Waterford 2 was how it finished there. So they're second. They're 8 points behind league leaders. Shamrock Rovers ahead of their game tomorrow night. Drogheda United got a 1-0 win over Galway, as Johnny alluded to there. Well, Shelburne kicked off the Joey O'Brien era proper with a 3-1 win over 10-man Cork City. In the first division, it finished Bray Wanderers 1, Wexford 0. Cove Ramblers got a 2-1 win at home to Athlone Town, who have new owners. We might get into that later. Finn Harps 0, Longford Town 0 was how it finished in Donegal. Dundalk come away from Kerry with a 4-0 win and all 3 points. And UCD 1, Treaty United 1 was how it finished at the UCD Bull. Pray tell, Shane Keegan, what were you watching tonight?
Yeah, I was watching the game on Virgin. I bemoaned. Was it last week? It was last week. The Virgin game was 0-0, wasn't it? And that was a shocker. It was absolutely shite. But tonight was actually decent, even though it was in Hillall. I debate your take on it there a little bit. I think, to me, Pat scored the only legitimate goal of the night, and it was absolutely a legitimate goal. I'd say there's probably a lot of people similar to myself now with your LOI TVs and your Virgin and all that. You're literally able to press pause at the point of contact. I mean, to me, there is absolutely no doubt Simon Power is onside when the pass is played. It's a shocker from the officials. Absolute shocker. And Stephen Kenny will be fuming. Yeah, Bowes had chances. Obviously, Colin Whelan's won at the end as well. But, I mean, McClelland has hit the crossbar as well. I think Bowes could have lost that game just as easy as they could have won it. And I think Stephen Kenny's narrative will be that they should have won the game and have been done out of it by the officials. But, lots of talking points around the place. I don't know. Have you seen the red card? Look, fair enough, Shells were 2-1 up. They were probably in the driving seat anyway against Cork. But, lads, the red, like, officials, I will start by saying I think sometimes fans can be overly harsh on the standard of officiating in the league. I actually think we have got a, quite a few very decent referees in the league, but you look at the Simon Power disallowed goal tonight and the Charlie Lyons sending off at Cork City, and I just think they're both really, really, really poor calls. So they haven't had a good night there, but looking forward to the Derry fans getting in touch, because that was some performance.
Yeah, absolutely. If they come off cloud nine, I'm sure they'll be on tonight, as well as other fans around the ground. I'm sure Anthony Kiernan was down in Richmond Park watching Bows this evening. Good evening, Anthony. You're our first caller tonight. How you doing?
Hey, Cameron. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So, what did you make of it? Are you Team Keegan or Team Hill in terms of the assessment of that game tonight?
No, Shane's for you. Fairness. But look, before I even start, thanks be to God you're back, Cameron. Jesus, someone that knows what they're doing.
No one has ever said that about me, Anthony. So thank you very much.
I heard you reading the news during the week, and news talk was going, thanks be to God.
Shane Keegan and I now have the confidence of Aidan Keane going into tonight.
No, look. Shane's not wrong. The fucking goal was about 4 yards onside. And look, we were looking at it from a fan's point of view. It's Pats can really be. They can really kind of be disheartened about that, but in the same token, I don't think either team deserved to win the game. I thought Pats were probably the better team for 70-80% of that game, and Bows had their spells. I think it was a terrible game. Now, I was waxing lyrical about a couple of games with Bows in it, and watching other games over the weeks, and it was the worst game this season that Bows have played in. Absolutely. I know the wind wasn't great, but Jesus, no, it wasn't a great game at all.
The wind was very bad in Dublin today, wasn't it? Like one thing that struck me was how good Dawson Devoy was second half.
Yeah, look, he was actually better in the first half, Cameron, because I'll tell you why. He's in that six on his own, and Adam McDonald is running all over the place, and he's doing the defensive six duties. He's running alongside top players, and he's able to body and get the ball turned really quickly on the half turn, instead of, you know, the good sixes will clear the ball out into touch. He's able to get his body in the way and turn the ball over really quick and get balls on the front foot. He shouldn't be doing that, is the reality of it. He should be the one that's in the eight role and running at defences and scaring defences. But when you're at Richmond Park and you're in that toy situation, like, look, Bows haven't won an awful lot of times in Richmond Park over the years. The last time they were blue there, I think I remember a guy called Aidan O'Keefe scored, and we beat them 1-0 in the 90th minute. Probably back in 2005, like 2006, maybe. That's how long ago. Like, you're not going to rock into Richmond Park and just roll Pats over, no matter who's playing for them. So, Bowes kind of, there's a reality check there. The last few weeks, I know it's great to bring Bowes into the title charge and everything, but you have to remember they only finished a couple of points off bottom three last year. And you have to just give them that time to breathe and that time to kind of grow into themselves. And Reynolds is doing well, but like, if we finish third, that's champagne this year. And I know we got excited a couple of weeks ago, and we're all saying, yeah, Bows are good enough to challenge Rovers, and they've beaten them three times, and they probably are in terms of the ability that's in the squad. I was on a couple of weeks ago and I was saying, look, some of the best players we've ever seen playing for Bows, but that doesn't necessarily mean, oh yeah, we're good enough to turn over these harder teams. But what I think we need to do is just to have a reality check and try and aim for second or third. And look, all that being said, if we're winning 4 or 5 points of a title challenge going into the last round of games, or even the last 7 or 8 games, that's when you can look, and the games are favourable this year for Bows in the latter, like we won I think 11-0 out that run. So we, if you take that second period and bring it into the last period, Bows have actually a favourable run. So if you're within a stone's throw of them teams after Europe, you have a fighting chance. So that's what I'm sure Alan Reynolds is saying, if we can stay in touch. But
Anthony, I'm sure you must be happy enough with the upgrade, the moves out, upgraded and replaced by Douglas Taylor. That's a decent bit of business for you, you'd imagine. I mean, he is to me, he ticks the box of what I feel you've been kind of short.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. Sure, we're like without saying it, like you're looking at just a presence, someone in the 6-yard box up and down the pitch. You're looking at somebody that, like, even today, I was saying, if we had left him on the bench and brought him on, he probably would have been able to score. Like, I know Colin Whelan, good player, he had a great chance. But yeah, absolutely, we're ticking the box there. That's a huge signing for us. Even long term, even looking 18 months down the line, if we continue to progress on where we're going, like the likes of signing a Douglas James Taylor from England and fighting off teams from England coming in for James Clark and Dawson Devoy, it's huge. It's huge for the league. Like, irrespective of what Bo's perspective on it, it's huge for the league to say, yeah, look, that's what we can do now. Like, we're a footballing league, and that's where we are. We're looking for a team to challenge Shamrock Rovers. And let's call it spade a spade. Pats are on a bad run. And anyone can go on a bad run. Pats are one of the... I was watching them tonight. Like, your man Mulroney is some player. Joe Redmond, someone from Edinburgh rang me earlier on. I'm a Hibs fan as well. And they asked me about Joe Redmond. And I was like, unbelievable. So, like, what we have to offer there is second to none, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, like, if Bowes can go from, like I said at the start of the whole thing, if Bowes can go from being 3 points, 6 points off the bottom three last year to come up and in contention, they must be doing something right.
Is there kind of, you're trying to just temper everything, Anthony, because I know, like, when things were going really badly, it was Rennie out, and then there was maybe a clamour from certain sections of the Bowes fans that, oh my God, this is brilliant, we're going to win. And listen, what a win over Shamrock Rovers does to your confidence and your self-esteem is immeasurable and invaluable. But as you say, tonight's a bit of a reality check. Is there just a bit of realism as to what success is in this season for Bowes?
Yeah, it's measurable. Like, so I suppose if we don't win or don't get 3 points and we're still able to perform like we did against Sligo last week, like we did tonight, to a certain extent, like, does a different performance. Tonight was defending and tucking in and knowing who the runners are and hard work. That's always the case at Richmond Park. You're never, ever, ever going to have anything else. If you need something at Richmond Park, you need to do that, all them things. I thought, look, the conditions didn't help tonight. But, yeah, but I am tempering it a little bit. But at the same time, I'm saying there's scope there for it to go further. And it's kind of, look, we wax lyrical about Damien Duff and some of the really good players in the league, but I think this whole sort of let's prop a team up like Bowes that are there or thereabouts. Look, Derry are probably ahead of Bowes in the great scheme of things, but yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of take it on its merit and say, look, where Bowes have come from last year, 18 months ago, to where they are now. Alan Reynolds needs an awful lot of kudos. The players need an awful lot of kudos. What I will say is, in terms of what I seen tonight was, does when you have and Shane, you might come in on this afterwards. What you have is an awful lot of players like Jordan Flores, Mountney. They're playing out of position. So when you're backs against the wall, Andrew Moran, that came in from Sligo playing centre half, he was dragged in and out of position tonight. When you're backs against the wall and it's not going well, that can kind of be something that you could kind of criticise Bowes for. They have a lot of players, a lot of good players, but they're not all playing in the right positions.
They'll surely get one or two more in, though, Anthony, for that exact reason. Like, there has definitely been, you know, a good few cases of square pegs and round holes over the course of the season. As you said, Jordan has played in almost every position on the bloody field, yeah. So he has for ye. Even Mounts has gone across and played left back, obviously, you know, a guy who was all right foot playing at left yeah. back there in one or two games. Yeah, like there has to be a couple more reinforcements. Like your mid five, like, is as good as literally and as good as anything in the league. Yeah. And that's why, like, I was tipping you at the start of the season to be a bolter. Like, I actually thought you could be right up there because, like, it is they're absolute as genuinely as good as, you know, three or four of years start midfielders there would start at Rovers, and Rovers is the barometer, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is. But there are still, yeah, 100%, there are still a couple of problem positions. Now, listen, one of them was centre forward, and he seemed to have gone and solved that problem. So Rennie's had his head screwed on there, and you can be sure he is absolutely scouring the market, I would think, for those one or two other positions that you need to nail as well.
Yeah, well, you'd wonder, Shane, if and you're right in what you're saying. So you'd wonder, like, I was down in Waterford the other week, and Ross Tierney was playing in a six, and it was all collaborative. They were all running in towards it and getting the ball out to Reece Brennan wide. But I just wonder if that was a little bit more down the line and they've gotten the players in where they need to get them in, would that whole thing work a little bit better? So are we looking at balls 12 months too early as title contenders and saying something is there, but we're just, man, we all get excited because shit what Shell's done last year and we can break and they broke the mold, but I think that was just an anomaly. I think where Alan Reynolds is going, and Stephen Kenny was very complimentary of him this week on his stuff with News Talk, I think where Bows are, I think they're still 12 months off where they need to be when you actually get down to the nitty-gritties.
Yeah, probably so. So therefore, like you say, to be in the position that you're in is you'd have taken that. You're kind of ahead of the curve a little bit maybe, and yeah, you know, filling those last few positions, do you have a proper crack at it then the following season?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what you need to do. But look, I know football's a fucking funny game. You could be there waxing lyrical one week and then having a falling out the next week. The real thing with Bowes is if he can stay within touch of Derry and ahead of Pats and Shells and maybe Galway in terms of Europe, because obviously the financial gains of staying in them positions is huge. So while staying realistic, you have to stay ahead of the posse at the same time. Although, if I'm being really, really honest, and if you look at Shamrock Rovers over the last couple of weeks and they've gotten good results, I don't think they're flawless and I don't think they're the same entity as is quoted in the media sometimes as, oh, they're just turning up and they're I don't think that's what Shamrock Rovers are this year. I think Shamrock Rovers will really need to eke it out. I think if Derry come good, I think if Europe is not kind to them, I don't think they're the same team without Kenny, without Ferrugia, without a marauding fullback that they've had, without Clark being injured. They've brought nobody in. I don't think it's a penalty kick as much as we like to think it is.
Yeah.
Genuinely, we've 40 odd points to play for. And I think Shamrock Rovers have only won most of their games by the odd goal here or there. And that's not me. Look, I like Shamrock Rovers as a team and I like what Bradley is doing, but I don't think they're like the Shamrock Rovers of 18 months ago when they won the league either. I don't think they have that sort of presence anymore.
I think it'll come out in the wash. You'd have to feel tomorrow night in the showgrounds. But Anthony, thank you so much for jumping on tonight. We'll hopefully get you on again very soon. And I, for one, am gutted that Bowes have not gone the whole season without getting the draw. That's two now. What the hell is going on? Anyway, thanks a mil.
Okay, listen, thanks, lads. Sorry for going on a bit there.
Cheers. Not at all. Anytime, mate. Thank you very much. It is
an irony, Cameron, of course, that Bohemians were sponsored and possibly still are sponsored, aren't they, by Dublin Bus. And you don't get a bus for ages and then two come along. It just had to be said. Jesus Christ. Two, like, what, 20 games without a draw, then two in a row.
A total tangent here, but I saw the open top Dublin Bus the one that they used to cut the trees on the street the other day, and I was wondering, like, if they did a victory parade for Dublin Bus in the Leinster Senior League.
Was it wearing an Oasis jersey?
It wasn't, no, but I was wondering if they did an open top bus victory parade on that, would it just disappear halfway through its route? But anyway, we're going to go over and get the thoughts of the Derry faithful after tonight, and Marty is standing by. Good evening, Marty. Start the party.
Good evening, Cameron.
Start the party for us. 7-2 up in the Brandywell. Liam Boyce with the hat trick. Sadio Diallo with a goal for all of us underside of the crossbar enthusiasts. What did you make it tonight?
Oh, it was amazing. And it's the fourth game I've missed probably since March. So I'm getting a lot of stick from Derry fans texting me, you know, stay away from now on because, you know. But anyway, yeah, it was brilliant. It was kind of a continuation probably of the last few weeks. Like, we've been threatening to do that to somebody. And it went very well tonight. I think the big difference was both Duffy and White were kind of playing in a free role. They were all over the pitch. And Waterford just could not deal with the both of them at all. Duffy ended up with three assists and a goal, and White must have had three assists as well. So, yeah, we were brilliant.
Did Marty win their game in hand, and they're five behind, and they're scoring a lot of goals of late?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I think if you had gave us this at the start of the season, where we'd be like in the middle of the summer and the league would still be in our hands, which it kind of is because we have to play Rovers twice, I think everybody would have definitely took that. So, yeah, we're all very happy now, and on to Sligo next week.
Yeah, it's funny. We haven't had a whole pile of Derry City callers compared to last year on League of Ireland late night so far. And I thought with Tiernan Lynch kind of, you know, not going brilliantly at the start, maybe all the Derry faithful had decided to just keep the head down and get this going. But gosh, in the last couple of weeks, it's really come good. And suddenly you're in, you know, just behind, you're the best of the rest in terms of chasing Shamrock Rovers. It's really starting to click for
Europe
as
well, Cam. They don't have Europe. Like, it's such a big benefit when you look at a squad that's kind of getting going and needs time. Like, and the goals that Boyce got tonight, like an unbelievable first goal. Like, they are definitely clicking. I've seen a good bit of them recent weeks, and they've some very, very good players. They look like they know what they're doing as well. And if they bring in a bit of pace into the team, they'll be very interesting.
Yeah, that must be very exciting, Marty, because when we talked about Derry at the start of the season or going into the season, it was very much Tiernan Lynch is building a squad to kind of get results straight away. And it took a while, but now it's finally starting to motor. What's the feeling around the fan base around that?
Well, I'd go back to last season and even a couple of seasons before. I think, like, Rory Higgins did an amazing job. A lot of people don't agree with that, but, like, he took us essentially the bottom of the table. We hadn't really competed at all in the 2010s to like top four every year, becoming very close to the title. So I'd see it as more Tiernan's come in and tweaked what was not that far off. Obviously, he's brought in a lot of his own players, and he has brought in better players. He seems to have a good eye for a player, and especially if you look at what he's done with the likes of Sam Todd there. Like, Sam Todd is playing so well, like, and he's just
unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'd say it's more of a case that he's taken what Rory did last year in the last couple of years, and he's just improved it again, which is what you'd hope would have happened, and it has. And yeah, it's looking so positive. Like, it hasn't looked like this in so long. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So I remember we bet Drogheda 5-1 nearly this exact weekend last year, and then went and lost 2-1 in Sligo with a terrible performance. So we have Sligo next, so you know, it's hard to, we don't get too ahead of ourselves either, but yeah, it is looking good at the same time. And yeah, Tiernan is doing such a good job so early, and it bodes so well that he's hit the ground running.
Well, what have you made of their style this year? Like, there's a funny one actually, just before that, Pat Hooban being linked with a move to Glentoran. I mean, how strong are those rumours from what you've heard, and what would that mean for the squad?
Well, I think you'd have to go somewhere, because it's obvious that him and Tiernan don't get on. There was rumours that some players are coming late or something, and Pat called them out or called Tiernan out because of it. And since then, the relationship has broken down. Who knows what's happened, but he clearly doesn't want to play him. He's got Liam Boyce, obviously, hat-trick tonight, brilliant, and Danny Mullen then is backup, and even we have a young guy, Sean Patton, who I think could be a good player. Like, and so he plays one up top, so four strikers. I'm sure Pat's on it and a good wage as well. So I'm sure we're probably waiting to offload Pat and maybe bring in a winger or two or something like that. So I definitely think, like, Pat has so much quality as well. Like, he shouldn't be rotting on the bench anywhere. Like, he should be going and getting the game. I've heard Cork, I've heard Galway. So I hope someone picks him up and he gets a game somewhere.
You play, I'm just looking at your schedule over the next couple of weeks. So it's, as you say, the trip to Sligo and then Bowes, which could be a cracking game. And then Shamrock Rovers as they return to league action after Europe and the Cup. So, like, there's a potential here for a bit of momentum, it's fair to say.
Well, absolutely, yes. And we kind of exercised the ghost of Sligo earlier on the season. It was Tiernan's first win, actually, a 1-0 win. And so win that again, you're right on Rovers' heels. And I'm even looking as far as the second last game of the season, where Rovers will be coming up to the Brandywell. So hopefully we're still there, and imagine that game then.
Yeah, it'll be an absolute cracker.
The next time Derry go to Tallaght, now that'll be interesting, because they're a side really that, with the players that they're kind of coming new to the league, they're only getting going, particularly Boyce, and that'll be fascinating to see what they can do against Rovers, because to me they are the biggest challenger.
Johnny, where does Pat Hoban go? Is there any chance he ends up back at Galway?
I would have thought it could have been a runner, like Shaw has come in. Obviously, Moses is a massive loss. So Stephen Walsh looks like his kind of legs are gone a bit. He was playing tonight with Shaw, and they did struggle up front together. And whether Hoban would be the ideal fit for Galway United is hard to say, but like, he's still able to score goals, and we do need somebody who can actually score goals up top tonight. Like, we didn't have Hickey. Massive loss, and looked pretty poor, to be honest. Like, it wasn't a great game in the second half. Draw the United basically it was a medicine, our own medicine, in the sense of scoring from a set piece. But you could definitely see that Hoban would be an attractive option. I'm just not sure what his contractual situation is with Derry, but the soundings have been for some time that they'd be happy to let him go. He was sort of vaguely linked with a Moses switch to Derry, and Moses apparently was a bit wary of the pitch up there. That's what I heard anyway. Obviously he's not wary of going to Phnom Penh anyway, but I could see Hoban potentially going.
The challenge, obviously, you'd imagine, is, like, when you say Derry are happy to let him go, yeah, I get that. Obviously, like, you can be sure he's on a fair whack up there, and they could do it getting that money back into the budget. But how does this play out money-wise? Like, I would be shocked if Galway, Glentoran, Cork City seem to be talking a lot that they actually fancy their chances of getting him. Like, none of those clubs, I would think, would be able to get anywhere close to giving him the sort of money that he's on at Derry. So are Derry willing to cover some of the wage for the remainder of the season to let him out, or is Pat willing to take a substantial hit in the wage? You see, this is the complication around any move, I would have thought.
It's also up to Pat at this stage of his life. Does he want to make a few quid, or does he want to play games? Like, you know, and I think he's a fella who is not a good sub. You know this better than me, Shane, but I think he's a guy who wants to play. And that's a project. Like, looking at United now, say if Sligo Rovers were happen to beat Shamrock Rovers tomorrow, 7-0. I'm not saying we'll get dropped into the relegation battle, but looking at tonight, the top four just looks fairly unlikely to me.
Wouldn't it be amazing, lads? And maybe it's fanciful talk. Maybe Cork City haven't got a hope in hell of signing them. But imagine telling League of Ireland fans or Cork City fans or Dundalk fans 5 years ago that potentially you could end up with a front two of Pat Hoban and Sean Maguire.
That'd be quite something. Margie, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Hey, thanks, Cameron. Just one thing on the Moses Dyer rumours that everyone was reporting on for Derry. Derry haven't signed a player from outside the UK and Ireland in 6 years because of Brexit. So whenever you hear anyone linked from New Zealand or anything, it's probably not true. We're really restricted in who we can sign, so that probably wasn't true, that rumour.
Right.
Anyway, thanks, guys.
I didn't know that. There you go. Learn something new every day. Thanks a mil for that. We'll hopefully talk to you again very soon. Right, we'll... Rob has been waiting on the line very patiently because I see Shane Kennedy, a reunion coming up with myself and him in a few minutes, hopefully. But Rob, you've been waiting there. Good evening. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. I hope Rob can hear us there. He's just on mute at the moment. No, I don't think he can hear us right now. Right. We'll go over to Shane Kennedy to get the thoughts of Talca Park this evening, because 3-1 win for Shelburne against 10-man Cork City in the end. Joey O'Brien's reign properly starts tonight with victory. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
Yeah, all right, lads. I think we said on Monday, I was a bit drunk now on Monday, I told you I was at Stags. I think we said I wanted Joey to get the job.
Right.
You did.
And I couldn't listen to it back because I tried to make sure that I was going to listen to what I said and what was gone. I don't think it's on the go out or something. I think Shane, as he said earlier on, malfunction or whatever it was.
Yeah, but, we desperately wanted to put it up, but someone called S. Keegan vetoed it, so we couldn't.
But that was our best performance of the season. We should have won that 8-1. We were absolutely brilliant. Cork weren't great, but we made them the way we should have been making them look in the previous. I think that's our third time playing them. Is that our second? No, yeah, it's the third time playing them. So in the previous two other games, we should have made them look like that, and tonight they look like the bottom team, and we look like whatever we're going to finish as champions. Well, we can still claim it for a few more weeks.
This was a no-brainer of an appointment, Shane, really, wasn't it? Like, I mean, it's just the common sense thing to do. And, like, to be fair to Duffer, you know, people would say this and that about him, and some liked him and some didn't, but he was never shy to talk about how influential Joey was in the whole success of last year. So it's just to me, it just makes complete sense. You don't rock the boat. He's the man to take it on, and by the sounds of things from you, possibly even kicking on again.
Yeah, it just looks like the players have a bit of weight off their shoulders. He's just calmer on the bench, and he's an ex-Irish international, ex-Premier League footballer, hasn't won the accolades as what Duffer had, though. But he's been in the changing room, and the two previous performances, is this our third game now? So two games before tonight, I think that made the decision even easier because we were better. And if we had struggled in those games, potentially maybe it's all that we wanted, that we're not wanted. But our two performances, we drew both of them, but our performances were by far better. And then we have momentum going into Linfield, which is something that we were struggling for.
Do you think that's one of the reasons Duffer left, Shane, that he felt that going into the Linfield game that this was actually more even potentially of a negative, him being there?
I would think so. I was getting worried, and like I said before, you had credit in the bank that you weren't allowed to say what's going on, but after 70 minutes, he wasn't changing tactics against 30. It was still the same crap, like we're losing 1-0 and he brings on John O'Sullivan and we all love him, but yeah, well, that's exactly it. And Joey's just come in and he's been a breath of fresh air in a calm way, I think, for the lads. Because Harry Wood tonight was the best player on the pitch and it wasn't even close. And like, he went off with a calf injury. He took a shot after 70 minutes and he went off with a calf. We pulled up and like in on the ground and you could hear the gasp in the river, Riverside. Like, he was back to the player when we first signed him. He was absolutely unreal. He played a bit more of a freer role. But yeah, just everyone just looks more comfortable. And now we look forward to Wednesday and we're excited.
Won't it be mad, Shane Keegan, if to see a team evolve from Damien Duff? Like, so this was Damien Duff's team, and this is the first time as a manager he's gone, and this is a post-Damien Duff team and how it's going to evolve under Joey O'Brien, who obviously was so associated with what they were doing defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, building on what Shane has said there, you know, I've kind of spoken before that I obviously we all what Duffer achieved last year was absolutely incredible, but I do think that all in intense, you know, conflict style of management, I do think it has a short shelf life. At the same particular club. I think the manager can have continuous success by moving from club to club every couple of seasons, but you can it lends itself to a very fast spike, but can also lend itself to a very fast decline. And listen, we don't know. Duffer may well have been able to swing it back around himself again and head for another spike. But I can see how him stepping away and everybody catching their breath, and as Shane has described, Joey's more kind of calm demeanor is just bringing, you know, it's probably just what's needed, certainly in the short term. Whether Joey can continue that long term from now over the rest of the season and get Shells into a top four spot, which is still absolutely doable for them in the league table, and arguably more importantly, make an impression in Europe, we'll see. But I think he's well equipped for the role. And yeah, it doesn't, it's as brilliant and all as Duffer was, it doesn't surprise me that they're getting a little bit of a bounce out of change.
Well, especially, like, I suppose, to put it back to you there, Shane Kennedy, like, just the idea of that negativity, like, the Duffer comments just before, like, on the Friday night before the shock departure, it just seemed like it was a little hopeless. And he'd kind of given up. He said, look, there's not much more I can do. Whereas, you know, whatever's going on and whatever's happening behind the scenes, we're not privy to that. When you're going into a Champions League campaign and a European campaign and the business end of the season, I don't think that's helpful regardless of how the season's going.
Absolutely. And to nearly double down on that, I was like, without going on about Duffer as well, like the Kieran McEnroy story as well, like he's a new lad who just walked in and he's saying, oh, we all need to get to his standards. And he's like, he has known that. And like, we just won the league last year. And you're telling us we need to go to his level. Like, his level, as I said before, was Scottish Championship, though. So that's what the lads just look like, they're freer now. And it just looks like they've had a breakup and they're on the rampage. Like,
that's a good man for the analogy, Shane.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It just looks like they're going on the tear now. But on the game, like, Boyle played centre half again tonight, and Sean Gannon suspended on Monday, so I don't know if he's going to play centre half. But it's obviously not just something that Damien Duff decided to do himself. If clearly Joey has carried it in tonight. Now, I know your man Daniels was gone, and they knew there was probably no height up front to worry about, and it was Maguire, so that's probably why they probably got away with it. But Coyle played centre half again, and whether he plays there on Wednesday instead of a Temple or a Bowen or a more naturally centre half, I don't know. But that was just an interesting positional starting 11 tonight. And again, we don't know whether it's I'm sure the manager David Healy was there tonight, and in the last three games we've played 5-2-3 or the 5-3-2, and I'd say now he has it. It's like, if they go with this, do we do this? If they go with that, and tonight we played a 5-2-3 with the two tens, similar to how Derry played.
And how was me pushing?
I watched the games back, like with the kids, and not listening to Cocomelon, so we just put the games on my phone. And Meepo, that, like, he's raw. He's like, he shoots from nowhere. But do you know what? Defenders are absolutely terrified of him, man. His pace just creates space for your looks at Harry Wood and your Coutts or whoever else is there. And all our best performance of the season is when he's played. Now, we missed another chance tonight, which he creates himself. But his dribbling is suspect. But defenders are terrified of him. On that big pitch in Windsor Park, I'd like to think he'll get us up the pitch if we're still in the game or whatever way the fourth game goes. But yeah, his pace is, for this league, is, I don't even think there's anyone like it, to be honest.
Jesus, Shane Keegan, what'll Duffer be like when the Linfield games are on? Will he watch them, like?
I actually put myself on mute there for a minute just to listen to, I've half an eye on the phone here, just listening to Joey O'Brien's interview after the game. My first thought was, how long do you think Joey O'Brien's interviews are going to start with Damien Duff been mentioned in the opening phrase? How long is he going to have to put up with that? When does this become Joey O'Brien's team and people just talk about Shelburne and Joey O'Brien without continuously mentioning Duffer? Because it is, like, you know, you're throwing it out there. It is what we're all thinking, you know. Listen, you know, I've kind of been honest enough before to say when I got the bullet at Galway, Johnny, I looked at the Galway results every week for pretty much the next couple of months, hoping the shite would be better week. Because it's human nature. You're after giving me the sack. I don't want you to be successful without me. You know, but that was a slightly different situation that I found myself in. I'd love to know where Duffer's head is at on Friday nights when he sits down to watch these games at the moment. Does he ever think to himself, fuck it, I'm after making a mistake there? I don't know.
I think with Joey O'Brien, and I've never interviewed him, but I don't think I need to have interviewed him. I think if you're interviewing him, Joey O'Brien has a presence and a bit of a kind of an aura about him that question won't be asked very long.
Yeah, I'm sure the first thing on Duffer's list is to see if there is a grassy knoll up at Windsor Park. Do some coat chopping ahead of that. But Shane Kennedy, thank you so much for jumping on once again. Great to hear your voice again every Friday night.
Cheers, lads, and wish Shieldy nothing but bad luck on Wednesday.
Yeah, we should try and get him on in the interim. That'll be good. Right.
Thanks, Dan.
Right, we will head to Gavin Smith, who's been patiently waiting. Good evening, Gavin. How are you?
Not too bad.
Hey, so what did you make of proceedings this evening down in Inchicore?
Before I do, I want to give some message to Cove Ramblers on how well they're doing this season in the first division, because at the start of the season, I gave Cove no hope to be where they are in the table, and full credit to the management team and the players down there. They're doing unbelievable. If they could keep that going, they'd be a force to reckon with come the playoffs. So I wish Cove all the best for the rest of the season.
Love a bit of first division love. Fair play to you, Gavin. Yeah, no, look, they're a bit of a blow for them last week. Obviously, if they could have got a result against Dundalk, they could have actually gone top of the table. But I just think that the business they did in the off-season was outstanding. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest that they are where they are. They've signed absolutely brilliantly. And listen, there's some cracking players. You'd wonder, actually, Cameron, there's three players in particular in the first division at the moment, and all you need to do is look at the top scorer list. Barry Coffey, Mikey Rowe and Lee Devitt are miles out ahead in front of anybody else in the first division this year in terms of their goal contribution at the moment. And you'd wonder, are there any Premier Division teams looking and going, they could definitely add something, because I think all three players could, to be honest with you. But go ahead, Gavin, fill us in on tonight.
On tonight's game, I agree with you saying that the pass goal was definitely onside. I just saw it again, and the linesman had an absolute nightmare. How he made that decision was baffling. If there was a different linesman, that goal would be given. But I think it was a poor game. Pats have been on a very poor run of form, and bodes well. The 12 fairly hard to win it in the end, but I'm just still worried about my boys be finished come down the season. I love to see them finish in the top three, but there's something in my back of my mind saying that perhaps we come good as the season comes to a close and bodes will slip off. Because Pat's quality will pull through during the rest of the season. And do you agree or do you think that Bowes will still be in that race for the European places?
I think they will. I thought I was kind of watching the going out game in the second half, watched a bit of the TV game as well, and Dawson Devoy's performance and the chances. Bowes have a lot of late goals this season. They created. Colin Whelan had a great chance at the end. They really did look like they could score. I thought there were lots of positives, a bit I saw of it anyway, but mainly how good Dawson Devoy was. I haven't seen that much from the season. Thought he was outrageous second half.
And apparently a club from the Bundesliga second division came in with some offer, but I think that was rejected. And when Grigsby came in for, James Clark, I thought he was off to Grigsby, but Frank paid the bones for rejecting their offer because James Clark needs a new contract. We can't, if we let him go for free, that'd be terrible.
We're getting some breaking news here from Gavin, are we? I was aware of the James Clark stuff, all right? I hadn't heard that. Is it Dawson Devoy you're saying that the German club were interested in?
Yeah, some German club in the second division were interested in San Jose in the fight, but apparently both rejected that offer or rumor straight away, because if we lose Dawson Defoe, that'd be a big loss in with Big, because he's been a first player of the season this year. Dawson Defoe's been immense in that midfield, along with them, was Tini, but Boateng on the James Taylor or James Douglas coming from Drogheda, I suppose. For me, I didn't see that move happening.
Yeah, it's...
I think he's a decent signing though. He's, you know, we didn't see enough of him at Drogheda, but he was like, Kev was very, very keen to hold on to him. He looked very good last season, up top. He could be the missing link. He was good at times tonight as well, but I thought there was a lot of, I don't know if you're watching what you made of Pat Shane, but I thought they looked like a team that, I think that'll actually help them going into Europe. I thought there were patches when they were very good and should have had a goal.
They were definitely better, Johnny. Yeah, definitely better tonight. But they have to be better. Like again, they are now what Bowes were at the start of the season. They are the team that you're looking at and going, how can a team with that much quality be producing poor results? And, you know, you just...
If they turn it on in Europe, I'm like, I've seen about 5 games lately. Why are you turning it on now?
Yeah. Look, that's fair comment. Look, I do think they've been somewhat unlucky. I think they've been unlucky again tonight with that decision, which, by the way, looking at the interviews coming in here, which I'm flicking through, Rennie has agreed with. Rennie has basically admitted that they've absolutely got away with one. So he's even called it himself. That was a definite goal. There's just too much... Far, far, far too much quality there for them to be serving up the substandard shite that we're seeing on a regular enough basis at the moment. But it has to come right for them. Like they're just too good for it not, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I think.
I'll let you get on to the next call because you must be waiting patiently. So thank you so much for having me on again. And again, all the best to the Whams for the first division for the rest of the season, because I love to see a club like that in the Premier division for next season.
Yeah, I think we'd love to see that, Gav. Thanks so much for jumping on. You're a king among scholars, and whatever about that Bundesliga is link for Dawson Devoy. I'm just glad James Clark hasn't gone and done what seems to be a worrying trend among League of Ireland late night, where they get praise and then end up at Grimsby Town. So that duck being broken is no harm at all. But right, we will go to Douglas James Taylor's former stomping ground in Drogheda United, because Tommy James is standing by this evening. Good evening, Tommy. A 1-0 win for you over, can we call this the United Derby?
No.
Okay. I just thought I'd float that was sadly rejected. Okay,
we could call it the losing your strikers derby, the Dyer James Taylor derby, maybe.
Right, what did you make of tonight's game? Because Johnny wasn't very impressed.
Yeah, I think Galway were better in the first half. We started a bit slow, but I'm not going to lie, I didn't see much of the game, to be honest. I was there, but like, just talking to lads, like, there was a lot going on. What a month for Drogheda. Kicked out of Europe, obviously. But Dougie going to Bowes was just, like, a killer. Like, I don't know how, like he really, he's quality striker. Like, holds the ball up well. Good turn, good shot. I think he could do really well at Bowes. He might get injured. Hopefully he does. But I think that on top, on him going to Bowes as well, was just like, he could have went anywhere, but he went there. So yeah, there was like, it was very raw. It was good for us to get the win. We definitely really needed it. Like,
what about Derek Kareem as well, getting the goal? Like, he's only played.
Yeah, Kareem, like he had a few dodgy touches in the first half, but he looked good. I didn't see the goal. I just seen it going in the back of the net, so I haven't seen the replay yet.
It was a funny goal because it was a goal that Galway United were just like, okay, well, we've meted this goal out a million times. We're actually going to take it. I just couldn't deal with the ball into the box from a set piece, and he was too strong. I think it was it Asu at the back post, just couldn't deal with him at all.
Right. He's big. Like Alua is big, but this guy is bigger. Like, on his shoulders, he's massive. So yeah, like, it'd be interesting to see. I hope he gets a run now. But the boys were saying he scored a good goal in the cup last year, I think, was it?
He did, actually. Was that the same? Yeah, I remember a young fella getting a good goal for them last year. I didn't put two and two together. That was the same one. Most telling thing for me, Tommy, like, look, we regularly enough, I suppose, have the Kevin Doherty love in here on the show, but every time I feel it's worthwhile. Like if any manager or any club has plenty of excuses to fall back on if their season started to drop away, it's one blow after another, and you keep thinking, what's going to be the knockout blow here that they actually don't get back up from and just kind of finish out the rest of the season with their tail between their legs? And you know, I thought, you know, everything again that's after happening the last couple of weeks, even he's just look, I won't go into it too much, but I had to ring him yesterday over something. I rang him yesterday over something. Even you just get off the phone from him in good form. You genuinely do. You just get off the phone from him in good form.
It was mad tonight, Shane, the feckin' Kareem score. Like, he only came in, I think it might even be his first start, came in the off-season, ran straight over to Kev, give him a big hug.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, the reaction.
You ever get that, actually?
You need to know. Ah, the odd time here and there.
From your tone.
maybe from there only, yeah. Although, no, he'd definitely be the last one to do it for me. But look, it does. It just tells you everything about the style of management and the person that he is. That, you know, a young fella, the high the young fella must be on to score his first league goal. But his immediate reaction is, you know, where's my manager? Where's the guy who's obviously helped me get to this point? And just head straight in Kev's direction. And again, the fact that you're going and scoring a header off a long throw against Galway United, who kind of specialise in that themselves. It's just, they're something else.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And like, you can see the resolve there from Kev, and they come over at the end there over to the fans. And like, I was emotionally, like, the supporters, right, whatever. I heard stories about a kid that his Christmas present was drawn a European trip away, and then we didn't get into Europe. So it's like, what do you say to the child? Like, you know, but you're thinking of the players, especially Ryan Brennan there, like, from Drogheda, captain of the team, to not get what they deserve is a European tie, and to wonder how would we do against the team, and could we get an early goal, and all that gone out the window, and the emotional toil of that, and then have, like, what, we five games in 3 or 4 weeks, like, it was great. And it was up to Cork, down to Cork, up to Derry, and like, we got better in Derry, but like, you could just see, like, I listened to Kev's interview after, and he just said he was delighted when the game was over, because they hadn't any more to give, like, emotionally, physically, everything, you know. So to come up with the win there today, it's great. Like, we really needed to keep the pressure on the rest of them. And like, we've hopefully Josh Thomas will come back now. Our next league game, I think it's August, so we've Crumlin in 2 weeks in the cup. So I'd like to see a couple of signings coming in, but you'd hope a couple of players come back as well. Like, and yeah, so like, but they gave it all tonight, you know, it was still very good. Like, but what a month. Like, well, it's over now, June, so hopefully July will be different. Couldn't get much worse.
No, I think it's fair to say Drogheda have earned a lot of fans, like, just from throughout the league. this year, just with the way they've gone about business and started so well. And as you say, suffered blow after blow after blow from just an administrative and signings point of view. So hopefully we'll see an uptick in form very soon, Tommy. But thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks very much, Cameron. Thanks for having us, lads. Have a good night.
You too, bud. You too. Now, I see Aaron Deering is waiting here. Usually Aaron jumps on when Sligo have lost, and I don't want to suggest that maybe he's doing this preemptively ahead of tomorrow night, but what have you got to get off your chest here, Aaron?
Well, lads, no, just was kind of with the free night, able to just kind of sit back and relax and watch other games. Ended up watching the Shells Cork game just to see kind of what Cork were up to. Yeah, I kind of agree with Shane. I wouldn't have said it could have been 8 goals, but Shells definitely were far better and probably could have been definitely more goals ahead, especially in the first kind of half an hour of the game. But surprise, Cork obviously had signed a few players, but hadn't really started them. Thought a few of them might come straight into the team, but yeah, so watched that. I had Pats and was on the background, and hope Virgin kind of leave it at that with Pat for the next while. Just the last two games have been brutal to watch.
Aaron, did you watch pretty much the majority of the Cork game there, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I'm just wondering on the, I see they made a double halftime change and whipped Sean Maguire and Sean Murray off. Was that, from what you could make out, was that like tactical because they were that poor in the first half, or they've hardly picked up two injuries there, have they?
No, Maguire, I was actually surprised he was taken off. Thought he would have kept him on. I thought personally between Murray and Bulger, it was a bit strange to have. Obviously, Nash might have been thinking of experience more than anything, but to me, anyways, I don't think that midfield has legs in comparison to the Shells, and like Harry Wood was just running rings around them in the first half in particular. So I think the Sean Murray one probably was tactical, but the Maguire one, I was surprised. Now, I've seen on Twitter, I don't know how true it is or not, but I seen just from Cork fans, apparently Maguire was kind of having a go at Cork fans at the end and stuff over the performances and stuff. So don't know. Obviously, as a Sligo fan looking on, we'll take that just a bit more. Kind of falling out in the camps and stuff. But just the big result then was the Waterford and Derry game. Obviously, look, not wanting to put the jinx on tomorrow night, but like if we could pull off something big there, like you're only 5 points off Waterford and 7 ahead of Cork, like it's a massive game tomorrow now. And interesting enough, I don't know how Russell will approach it with his own new signings in, especially midfield. Obviously, Jake Doyle-Hayes has been very good, so I think he'll definitely keep his space in the team. But just with Seb Kirk coming in, and then obviously James McManus coming in from Bowes, I don't know, will he put one of them into the midfield straight out? I don't know. But it'll just be interesting. It gives us more options. And I think Ryan O'Kane is kind of more signed just in case anything happens with Owen Elding over the next couple of weeks. Just because obviously I just can't see Ryan O'Kane coming in ahead of Will Fitzgerald, who's been outstanding this season as well.
Yeah, what's the mood around Aaron at the moment? Because certainly last week, given how the other results went, the Bowes draw felt like a bit of a missed opportunity, if anything, from Sligo. But, you know, 2 wins from 4, it's starting to turn around. Cork are obviously still really struggling under Nash. Waterford, obviously, with that result tonight. And I think you have Cork in a couple of weeks, which is on Virgin Media. I think that's one of the games coming up televised. So there must be a much greater sense that you could pull off the great escape here.
And yeah, look, I mean, it's starting to kind of feel like we've turned that corner and we can start looking up rather than looking down. But you just never know with this league. But I do think Russell has kind of been a bit more shrewd in the market. He's obviously gone for players other than Seb Kirk, like Patrick McLean, and the other two loan signings. Like, they're all have played in the league. They know the league inside and out. So you don't have to kind of take that chance on someone coming from England, getting them up to scratch. And you know yourself, the time some of those players get up and running, you're heading into the last kind of 7-8 games where at least the likes of James McManus and them are ready to go already, from already playing this season. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how tomorrow goes. But it's hard to know with Shams as well, because obviously they're kind of, I know they beat Waterford the other day, but by all accounts, it wasn't a 100% convincing win. So hopefully we can might catch them on the hop.
Yeah, we'll watch that one with bated breath. One thing is for sure, given how both teams are playing at the moment, it won't be dull. It certainly won't be a nil all, you'd have to say. But thank you so much, Aaron.
No, it's never dull.
Cheers, lad.
Thanks for hopping on. I think that'll about do it. Unfortunately, we won't get to you tonight, Aidan, but we'll definitely, it seems like the good times are back at Derry, so we will probably hear from you again next week. Shane Keegan, we got there.
Great stuff. Great to have a professional back in the chief seat.
Oh, yeah. Well, Johnny did well. Yeah, that's fair to say. Johnny, thank you very much.
Cheers, my man.
Yeah, that'll about do it. So, as I said, tomorrow night, the big one down in the showgrounds, it's Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers. So Rovers against Sligo or Rovers against Shams, depending on your persuasion in that one. That kicks off at 7:45. You have Women's All-Ireland Cup quarterfinals tomorrow. Bows against Glentoran, Shelburne Treaty, Galway against Shamrock Rovers, and Wexford Piemont United. A host of European ties coming up for the League of Ireland. So as we said earlier, Shelburne taking on Linfield in Talca Park on Wednesday night. You have Shamrock Rovers. They're kicking off against, well, they've Glenavon coming up next on Friday. And then Pats have a European tie in the UEFA Conference League. So not quite the result they would have wanted to maybe get the juices flowing for that. But they take on Hegelman in Inchicore next Thursday at 7:45. And then some fixtures to tell you about in the Premier Division next Friday. Just the three, in fact. You have Bows against Galway. You have Waterford taking on Cork City. And Sligo Rovers against Derry City. So all pretty interesting games in the Premier Division next weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for having me back, guys. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Head on over to Off the Ball social channels for all of the post-match reaction from tonight's games. But until next Friday, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.